Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for October 23rd, 2012. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm speaking with Stephen Nimer, senior author of a paper that appears in the current issue of Science Signaling about the regulation of a transcriptional silencer that controls the expression of a tumor suppressor locus. Polycomb group proteins are nuclear proteins that bind to and modify chromatin to silence the expression of nearby genes. Silencing by polycomb group proteins is quite stable. It's inherited by both daughter cells when a cell divides, but it's also reversible. Silencing by polycomb group proteins is a normal part of developmental and cell biology, but some of the gene silencing mediated by these proteins has been associated with tumor development when those silenced genes are tumor suppressors. In a paper that appears in the current issue of Science Signaling, Nimer's group reports on how the activity of a polycomb group protein called BMI1 is regulated to affect cell proliferation, tumor growth, and self-renewal of stem cells. Nimer spoke to me from the University of Miami School of Medicine. Welcome, Dr. Nimer.
Thank you very much, Annalisa.
BMI1 is a polycomb group protein that silences genes. What sorts of genes does it silence, and how does it keep those genes silent?
BMI1 is called a polycomb group protein in part based on its function as defined in Drosophila or fruit flies. And there are genes that are required for maintaining silencing, and there are genes that are required for maintaining activation. And these genes are called the polycomb group genes and the trithorax group genes. And they themselves may not be what dictates silencing or activation, but they reinforce the signal and they maintain during development a gene that's off, is remained off by polycomb genes, and they function in multi-protein complexes. And for the polycomb proteins, the two main complexes are called PRC1 and PRC2, and that stands for polycomb repressor complex 1 and polycomb repressor complex 2. BMI1 is a component of PRC1, and so the way these proteins function as silencers is they recognize histones, and they bind to the histone once it has a very specific post-translational modification. In this case, the PRC2 complex generally methylates lysine in the histone, and that creates a binding site for PRC1 complex, which would include BMI1. And so these maintain the chromatin in a closed configuration, which promotes silencing. There are actually two different types of silenced chromatin. There can be what's called a facultative heterochromatin and constitutive heterochromatin. For instance, some genes that are only expressed in the heart would be kept off forever in a liver cell. Other genes may be turned on and off according to cell cycle, according to signaling, and so those genes are the type that we have studied in this paper, and those are repressed first and then maintained silent, but they can be turned back on over time. BMI1 is thought to function in some situations as an oncogene, and so the genes that it would turn off in that capacity would be genes that impair the growth of the cell. And so in our paper, we did look at several genes, P16 and P19. Those genes are involved in slowing the cell cycle or triggering apoptosis. And so by silencing those genes, BMI1 can promote cell growth or oncogenesis.
How does BMI1 silencing of those genes function in normal cell biology? For example, what happens in BMI mutants?
So perhaps what drove our investigation and one of the most critical effects of BMI1 has been its ability and its importance in the self-renewal of stem cells. So in normal physiology, both in the brain and in hematopoiesis, the ability of these multipotent or totipotent stem cells to maintain their ability to self-renew requires the presence of BMI-1. Exactly how it does that is unclear. And so there are a number of genes that have been identified as being targeted by BMI-1, but the exact mechanism by which it promotes self-renewal is unclear. In terms of development, the polycomb genes and the trithorax genes can regulate Hox genes, the homeobox genes. And for many of the functions, it's probably changes in homeobox gene function that's critical for the effects of these proteins on cells. One could imagine that overexpressing BMI-1 as an oncogene would lead to cancer. And in fact, BMI-1 was identified as a gene that cooperates with the MYC oncogene in causing B cell malignancies. And that's in fact how it got the name BMI-1 for B cell malignancy integration site 1, meaning it was a site that retrovirus inserted in front of or into the locus to turn on BMI-1 to cooperate with MYC in lymphoma. And so the critical genes that are involved in its promoting of self-renewal in stem cells are not so clear, but it's a very important effect of BMI-1 on normal stem cell self-renewal.
What's known about how the activity of BMI-1 is regulated?
So BMI-1 is in this PRC1 complex, and there are other polycomb group proteins that can be in the same complex, either in addition to BMI-1 or to substitute for BMI-1. So one way that BMI-1 activity is regulated is whether or not it's in a complex. And so the level of expression of BMI-1 is important, its protein partners are important, and the activity of PRC1 can also depend on the activity of PRC2. And so another way that BMI-1 activity can be regulated is whether the specific histone lysine methylation events have occurred or have not occurred. What you're looking at is a histone H3 case 27 methylation event that helps to recruit the PRC2 to the chromatin, to histones, and so the level of methylation can affect the activity. And then what has been shown also is that post-translational modifications of BMI-1 can affect its function, and in particular, phosphorylation of BMI-1 that occurs either during the cell cycle or in response to a specific signaling pathway can affect BMI-1 activity. And in fact, that's what we were looking at in our paper.
You were looking at how signaling through the PI3 kinase AKT pathway impinges on BMI-1 function. What made you think that that pathway might play a role in the regulation of BMI-1?
So probably the most important bit of evidence that made us look at PI3 kinase and AKT and BMI-1 were some descriptions of the BMI-1 knockouts and the P10 knockouts. So P10 is a phosphatase, and so in the absence of P10, one sees upregulation of the PI3 kinase AKT pathway. And under those circumstances, it's been reported that there's some defects in the stem cell compartment. You see some early exhaustion, implying that there may be defective self-renewal. That without BMI-1, there's an abnormality in stem cell self-renewal. And so this would suggest a common end result for either turning on PI3-AKT or removing some aspect of BMI-1 function. The next aspect that made us curious was that we had identified a specific AKT consensus phosphorylation site in BMI-1, which encouraged us to at least begin to explore whether AKT signaling could affect, in a positive or negative way, BMI-1 function.
And how does AKT signaling affect BMI function?
Well, it's very interesting because AKT signaling is usually thought of as promoting cell growth. And so one would think, because BMI-1 is thought of as an oncogene, that AKT signaling should promote BMI-1 function. And in fact, there is a recent paper from Martin van Leeuwen's lab that suggests that there may be some effects in cells where this is the case. However, we've looked in stem cells, and what we found instead is that AKT signaling actually impaired BMI-1 function. And so what this led us to think about is, could this actually be a mechanism to decrease BMI-1 function and prevent non-stem cells from self-renewing? As you know, the ability to self-renew is a process that's only found in stem cells and not found in other cells. If you have cancer of cells that are not stem cells, at some point the cancer has to acquire the ability to self-renew. And so we know that there can be negative feedback. And so although AKT can promote cell growth, that growth shouldn't be indefinite. And so under normal situations, the cell growth should be titrated down over time so that every AKT signal doesn't go on forever. And so what we found, in essence, is sort of a negative feedback, that by phosphorylating BMI-1 and inhibiting its activity, now you lose the ability to self-renew, and that would allow the cell to go through normal differentiation and ultimately exhaust itself. Now, what has been reported by Michael Karas as the first author and others is that AKT signaling may not be on in hematopoietic stem cells. It seems like it's off, but in the progenitor cell, AKT is turned on. And so one of the questions raised by our paper is the suggestion that, in fact, it is this blocking of BMI-1 activity when AKT is turned on that prevents progenitor cells from self-renewing.
Right, because those cells have a somewhat more restricted fate, and they don't self-renew the way stem cells do.
Correct, and maybe it is because AKT gets turned on in those cells that they lose their ability to self-renew, because AKT will phosphorylate BMI-1.
So AKT signaling is activated in a lot of different types of cancer. But if AKT signaling can initiate this negative feedback mechanism for repressing growth, then in cancer cells, that implies then that the cells have found other ways to bypass that negative feedback, that there are more signals promoting self-renewal and growth than AKT can tamp down through BMI-1.
Yes. So, you know, I think that while it's important for us to think about signaling pathways and proteins within a framework, I also think it's important for us to be very flexible in how we think about things. And so if you think of AKT as always promoting growth, then every single thing it should do should be pro-growth. But in fact, for AKT signaling to be tolerated in the cell probably requires a combination of positive and negative things. Similarly, BMI-1 function and what it does to silence genes is probably part of a bigger network. So although AKT may promote cell growth in many ways, there probably needs to be sort of almost a thermostat to dial things down a bit. Does every cancer cell require BMI-1 in order to self-renew? Well, that hasn't been established. Certainly BMI-1 promotes self-renewal, but you could easily imagine there would be other BMI-1-like proteins in the cell that could take over if you blocked BMI-1. So the thing we know about cancer is there are multiple ways to get around a roadblock. And so if the phospho-BMI-1 becomes the roadblock to the cancer cell, it will, over time, devise ways of escaping. And many of the systems that we studied and used in our paper were acute, you know, that we would acutely turn on AKT and see these negative effects of phosphorylation of BMI-1. But conceivably, over time, there could be ways for the cell to come around and bypass this inhibitory effect.
Thank you, Dr. Nimer, for taking the time to speak with me.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Annalisa. Thank you for the opportunity.
That was Stephen Nimer, senior author of a research article published in the October 23rd issue of Science Signaling. That paper by Liu and colleagues is titled, AKT Phosphorylates the Transcriptional Repressor BMI-1 to Block Its Effects on the Tumor-Suppressing INC4A ARF Locus. And that wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. This show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.